Alrighty, I have a sermon today that I'm going to move on through pretty quickly. Why is that funny? I say I'm going to preach quickly, people start laughing. That's not fair. Sermon today is called The Hand, the Pearl, and the Pot. The Hand, the Pearl, and the Pot. I want to just share with you three parables, three pictures, if you like. And I'm hopefully that at the end of it, we can tie them together. It's a little bit of an eclectic sermon, but I think you can stay with me. I want to first talk about the hand. Every one of us at some point in our lives gets to see a hand extended to us in invitation. Most of us experience this many times in our lives. The start of a new job, the offer of a friendship, the culmination of a romance. Usually that's someone on their knees with their hands extended. Sometimes a call for help. Sometimes it's the desperate hand that's in an emergency. Sometimes it's a hand held out in greeting. Sometimes it's the offer of inclusion into the group. But most of us experience that at some stage. Somebody holds out their hands and beckons you to take hold of their hand. Come with me. Let's go into a new adventure together. God extends his hand in invitation to us quite often. Take my hand. He offers his calling. He offers the call to salvation. He offers the call to a strategy to walk out. The Holy Spirit constantly offers his hand so that we can be led by him into a future. God extends his hands all the time to people, and some people reach out and grab hold of his and then step with him into a different future that lies ahead of them. I extended my hand to Michelle like that. I told her I'm not sure what the future holds, but if you take my hand, I know it'd be a lot more beautiful. The ladies all missed an opportunity to go, "Aww." That was about as romantic as it gets for me. You missed the whole moment. When a stranger puts out their hand to you, you're not sure whether you should take it. But a trusted somebody, a beloved somebody, when they reach out their hand, it's easier to take it. So, okay, I'll take a chance with you. Many years ago, Michelle and I felt the Lord reach out his hand to us and invite us to join him on an adventure. Come start a church in the U.S., in Atlanta, Georgia. I said to the Lord, I'm not sure that Atlanta needs another church. But because you say, we'll take your hand. Today in this service, I believe the Lord is extending an invitation to us to take his hand, to join him on an adventure. Let me talk about the pearl. In Matthew 13, Jesus, in a long list, there's seven parables of the kingdom, and this is sort of tucked in the middle of it. In Matthew 13, verse 45, Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom is like a merchant looking for pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought that pearl." There's two ways that most Bible scholars will interpret this. The first is that Jesus is the pearl merchant who came looking for us. And when he found us, he gave up everything that he had to purchase us. It's just a pretty cool way of saying the gospel of grace, and I love that. The second one is that we are the people who stumble across him and his kingdom, and we give up everything we have that we might gain him and his kingdom. I'd like to investigate the concept of a pearl just briefly today, because to me, what we have here is a pearl of great price. What Northlands is to those who find it, a beautiful pearl. Now, typically we have two responses to people who come and visit with us. The first is one of celebration. People go, "This is phenomenal. Where have you been? I feel like I came home." Many people sit and weep through the first three or four times they come to our church. That's like a common thing. And it's not because we're doing them evil. It's because they finally found the place I was looking for. Finally found a place where we can preach the gospel of grace. Finally found a place where we can worship God freely. Finally, there are people who hear God's voice. They say things like, I can't believe that I never knew you were here. You're Atlanta's best kept secret. This is what we've been looking for. Celebration is one of the responses we get from guests. Always nice. The second response we get for people who are hungry to know more about God, for people who are interested in learning, if they don't know him, they're interested in learning. If they do, if they are believers, then they want more. They want to experience more of God. But they come in and they, instead of celebration, their response is caution. And I understand that caution because we're a little different. Let's face it. The whole world is strange, but thee and me and even thou art a little touched at times. Well, you are a little strange because when people come, they're not used to some of the elements that we take for granted. They may not have testimonies in their church. They may not have an opportunity to greet. They may not have worship that focuses everybody's attention not on one another or on the worship team, but on the Lord Jesus. They may not expect to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving. They may not know what it is to have a ministry team after prayer and expect God to break out and change things in somebody's life. Sometimes we're a little intense for guests. And there are elements in our services that are unfamiliar to some guests. And I get that. And to those people, we owe them a loving reception. See, if you're not used to Northlands and you came for the first time, it might take you a few weeks just to figure out, is this somewhere I'd like to come? And we can speed that by being just genuine and loving. We can give them consideration and graciousness. See, I want to remove any stumbling blocks, anything that's unnecessary, we should move. Because there are some things that are part of the pearl of who we are that are going to be immovable and unchangeable. I can't remove the offense of the cross, but I can be welcoming and loving to guests. I won't apologize for who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, and I love him, love what he does, I love who he is, but I can take time to explain what is happening in the meeting. I love passionate, Jesus-focused worship. Can't change that. I care deeply about the words of prophecy or the words that are written in the scriptures, so we're going to spend a lot of time in both of those. But we will make an effort to make them clear and understandable to everybody. I celebrate the prophetic edge on our church. It's part of our pearl. I enjoy the authentic faith-building testimonies about what God does among us. It's part of the pearl. I like the intensity of the personalized prayers with the expectation that God is going to break through right now. We've had a number of people come to our church because their children said, we need to go to that church where God answers prayer. What a testimony. Praise God. Amen. I'm unashamed of the gospel of grace. We can't change that. We're certainly not going back to legalism. It's part of our pearl. In other words, this is the Northlands pearl. There are some elements that make up who we are that are unchangeable, immovable. I cannot do anything else. Here I am. This is who we are. This is the very thing that makes my heart beat. We're not going to change a single thing, but we are going to reach out to our community. It is time. And when we had a meeting with the elders recently and we waited on the Lord and then we came back, the most overwhelming thing consistently across all the elders the Lord was saying is it's time to reach out. And you know what that means? We're not going to change a single thing about the pearl, but the pearl of Northlands needs an updated setting. Our setting is not that great. We've got stained carpets. We're going to change that. We don't have enough signage. We're going to change that. We're going to make it prettier for guests. We're going to change a lot about what's going on. We aim to make you proud to bring your guests. It's been interesting to me because some people I talk to at Northlands and they go, I have a friend, but I can't bring him here. You go, why? I want to take some of those, well, certainly any part of that that we're prepared to change, we're going to change. Because lives are at stake. People's lives are at stake. This is not a small, whimsical thing. This is important for us. Michelle had a word a month ago, which is, I so appreciated her getting up because it informed a prophetic understanding of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. There is an emaciated bride. There are people out there who are living on a flimsy little edge or somebody who don't know Jesus, and it's time for them to come into the fullness of everything that is ours in Christ. And for their sake, we have to get it together. We're going to update the setting of this pearl. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So we're going to change some stuff about this stall. I call it the stall. We're going to change. We're going to put some new flooring down. We're going to put some new signage up. We're going to get a boom out there. We're going to change quite a bit. We're creating a hall of champions back here for the servers who serve so that they can be served. We're going to be looking forward as we move into a second service, which is due to come up next year, because we're running out of space here. We looked around. I put an offer in on another building. We've done a whole bunch of things. Nothing seemed to work. It seems to the Lord like we should stay here, and I'll tell you why it's a good idea. If we stay here and we go to multiple services in this venue, it's just good stewardship. We start to use what we already have. It's not going to put any extra burden on us. We comfortably afford this building, but suddenly we start to build some reserves so that we can get about the ministry that God has called this church to. It's time for us. So we're going to maximize. We're going to use what we have here. And it's going to be we're going to do some outside renovation. There's going to be some pavings and some booms. And that is all happening. It starts tomorrow. And so it's a fun time, and we're going to do this up so that it looks a little prettier, primarily for guests. Not just for them, for you as well, but so that guests feel, oh, this is nice. We're changing not just the stall, but the staff. We've added some new faces to the staff, and we're looking to add some more. We're primarily bulking up our administrative staff to grow into what the Lord has been doing here. And with that, I just want to make an announcement that Elizabeth Chauncey just came on as the new chief of admin. It's nice to have you. She makes me nervous. I think I'm going to have to jump a bit. That's exactly why I hired her. But we're very excited about that. And Elizabeth is looking for a new administrative assistant. And so a post has become available, and we just thought we were going to throw that open as a first resort to people in the church. If you're looking interested in 25 to 30 hours, but going to a full-time post for her, Elizabeth needs somebody to stand with her. And so there's going to be some changes in the admin, and we're looking forward to that. And if you're interested in applying, please contact Elizabeth at elizabeth@northlandschurch or call the church office, and you can get in on part of that. Jump in on that. It's going to be fun. And then we're changing some systems. We're upgrading a bunch of systems in the church, and we're looking at doing that. The primary one that I'm interested in is guest services. I want people helping us park cars. I want greeters on the door. I want ushers in the meeting. I want clearly marked, this is guest services, and these are the children's church helpers. I want, when guests come in, it to look and to make a feel like everything's organized and ordered. If I can hit the pause button, recently when the Lord began to speak to me about this, I started talking to the church about we need to upgrade our systems. And so every system in the church is under review. Why? Because we have to get ready for what the Lord wants to do. And I suddenly realized that while in the last 2.5 years our church has grown, just this year we grew by 25%, and it was just a wonderful year. We're very excited. But it's got nothing compared to what the Lord is speaking about coming. And so when we looked, we've grown over the last 2.5 years, but our systems haven't changed, and nor was our staff. And so kind of everything was groaning, and I suddenly, well, why are we doing that? Why don't we just change the systems and add new staff? It's not hard. So we're very excited about this, but we're updating guest services, children's church check-in. We're going to have a great issues for guests, and we're trying to fix a better setting, an upgraded setting for the Pearl of Great Price. While I was thinking about this, I was supposed to travel to a third world country, and I went for a visa, and it took me 2.5 hours to make the application. And I walked in, and there was just a room and bare tables, and somebody had drawn lines in a book, and there was no one there. And so you walked in, and there was a book, and so I kind of wrote, and it said number, and I didn't know what my number was, so I just added one to the guy who was in front of me, and said name and why are you here, and I said visa application, and nobody was there, so I sat down and waited. And then after a while, a lady came in, and somebody else was filling in the book, and she took the book from him, and then she read out the name of the next person, and handed back the book, and he carried on writing. And then when it was my time, you went up, but she was not in another room, she was just sitting at a table over there. And it was a steel table with no tablecloth. This is an embassy in Buckhead. And there's a plastic chair. So I sat in a plastic chair, and her desk is piled and stressed. And it took me 2.5 hours. No, you must go there. And then that guy was grumpy, and he sent me there. And then, so 2.5 hours, and I finally applied for a visa. And I walked out of there, and it was a stressful morning. I just wasted 2.5 hours on what should have taken 5 minutes. And I'm driving back, and I remembered that my driver's license is almost expired. And I have to go to the DMV. So I go, I've already wasted 2.5 hours of today. So I go into the DMV, and I look at the time, and I go, oh, it's going to be another couple of hours, because there's 85 people at least in line in front of me. And while so I get in line, and this guy walks up to me and goes, hi, you know, you don't have to wait in this line. And he points to a poster that I see it on the wall now. Every 5 yards, there's a poster with an email, with an address. And he goes, if you just go to that address, you can just fill in your details online. I go, that's pretty good. So I get my phone out, and I fill in, and I make the changes on my, because my address has changed. I change that and it sends me a number. So he says, you're good. You don't have to wait here. Go and wait there. So I walk, sit down. Then my number comes up. Bing. Go to window number 3. So I walk up to window number 3, and the lady says, hello, Gregory. Why? Because my number has come up on her screen. All my information's on her screen. She says, I just want to check that this information. She runs it through, takes my photo, gives me a new temporary card, tells me when the new card is going to come, says, thank you very much. I'm on my way 12 minutes. See, good systems will change your life. I spent 2.5 hours with a place where there were poor systems. You know, there might be great people in that place, but poor systems will make out of great people frustrated underperformers. Great systems will make even of mediocre people great performers. We're going to change some systems around here. Just because we owe it to the people out there. We're going to get better at this. See, Greg, why are you telling me all of this? Because I need your help. I need you to step up with us. And when we go to Grace Teams and there's some changes around here and people ask you for a little bit more than just whatever you can bring, then don't go, who do you think you are? Don't you understand? I'm giving my... No, just work with us. Why? Because I believe that together we can affect a change. Together we can reach out into our community and take this pearl and make it accessible to people out there. There's so much about our pearl that I love. If I can just brag on us just for 3 minutes, can you handle that? Just let me say, if you're a guest today, I'm so sorry. This is not a great sermon for you, but this is household business. I just need to get through this. We preach the attendance of the bride. I've never heard this anywhere else, but I'm convinced that it's God's perspective on how leadership should be in the church. Leaders as skilled servants who've been gifted to the bride of Christ to prepare them for Jesus' return. They measure, their success is measured not by how well they perform, but how many people around them are inspired towards and growing in the call of God on their life. People who not only supply you with the opportunity, but equip you so that you can serve. The point is not for us to be profound, but for us to equip you to be profound. That's the goal. I love our church because part of our church is the preaching of the gospel of grace. Righteousness is a gift that we are given when we believe. It is not a state that we earn by our own efforts. The righteous requirements of God's law have been fully met in those who believe. Believers have been submerged into Jesus, and God now sees and judges us by the actions of Jesus and not by our own actions. We are brand new creatures with brand new natures who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, have no condemnation against us. We have entered into the rest of faith. We know that we need to take a stand in this grace, and we understand that this grace teaches us in practical ways how to live holy and godly lives. It's part of the pearl of what God has done here. We believe in a mature response to the Holy Spirit. We love what he does, but we understand that an immature response to the Holy Spirit will cause more damage than blessing. So we're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We appreciate him and his ways and his gifts, and we're open to all the gifts that God wants to bring, and we encourage a mature response to him. We tremble at his voice, and we discipline our families towards his leadership. I love the grace teams. Because we recognize that every one of us has grace on our life that needs to be added to what we do here. It's not about the church needing people, a warm, willing body, because we have a need here, but it's about us providing people a profound gift of an opportunity, a place where you can bring what God has put on your life and find success. Giving you an opportunity to invest in eternal vaults. I believe that with all my heart. Give all you can. Serve all you can. Pray as often as you can. Love as much as you can. Because I promise you, for all eternity, you will be glad that you did. I love the fact that we make a place for people to win. I love the authentic community that we find in here. I love the fact that we love one another and care for one another, as the graph will show. But people loving life and doing life with others is vital. I love the way we do this around here. I love the stories of people helping and ministering to one another. It's like music to our ears. I love the opportunity for people to attend what they feel like attending in terms of a community group, but they're focused on what will grow me spiritually and where can I connect? See, the church is not measured in the excellence of the performance of the hour, an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. A church is measured in heaven by how much we care and love for one another. Jesus didn't say they'll know you are Christians because you had an excellent hour service or an hour and a half. They'll know you are Christians by how much you love one another. This is the measure of it. I love our discipleship program. I asked myself the question a little while back, what difference does Northlands make to somebody? If somebody comes in the door and gives us their heart and goes through Northlands, they're in the machinery of our church and they give us their heart and they serve and they go and then they leave 5 years later, he gets promoted and sent somewhere. And what difference did those 5 years make in their spiritual lives? Because if all we did was offer you 52 times opportunities a year to attend a service, then we have not done our job. What are we doing to equip you? What difference can we make in your life? And so I'm passionate about this. I think there are four things that if I could land you on those squares, then when you leave us in 5 years' time, then I'm saying we did our best. We did what we could. And this is the first one. I want everybody in our church to be equipped to have a vital personal walk with Jesus. I want you to know how to love him, about you to know how to worship. How do you pray? How do you spend time in the Word? I want you in a vital walk with Jesus. And if we can't equip you to do that, we shouldn't be in this business. Number two, I want you to be a competent minister of the gospel of grace, which means that you need to be able to preach grace. You need to be able to understand grace enough so that you can tell it to other people. And to that end, this past year, we did a 30-part series on the foundations of grace. 10 parts on who Jesus is, 10 parts on what he accomplished on the cross, and 10 parts on the gifts of righteousness. Some of the groups have done it. More groups are going to start in January. I would counsel you, if you cannot yet clearly enunciate the gospel of grace, go and do that course in one of those small groups. The third thing is, I want people able to hear God's voice. Not I did the course on hearing God's voice, but I actually am hearing God's voice. I want you hearing God's voice. Not through somebody else. I want you hearing God's voice. So we're interested in helping that. Number four, I want people habitually to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're working on a discipleship program that's going to help people get there in 5 years. Because you know what? If you leave our church in 5 years' time and you have a vital personal walk with the Lord, and you can preach the gospel of grace, and you can hear God's voice, and you know what it is to be led by the Spirit of God, then I feel like we did our job. And we'll bless you as you go. We'll launch you as you go, because you're going to make a difference in this world. I love the pearl that is Northlands, but we're going to do some work on the setting, because it's a pearl of great value to those who find it. Lastly, let me speak about the pot. The hand, the pearl, and the pot. In 2 Kings 4, there's a story about Elisha. And he calls a group of prophets together and he says to his servants, let's cook a meal. So they throw a big pot on the fire and people throw into it whatever they got. And one guy goes out and there's a vine there and he takes a lot of the gourds and he puts them into his skirt and he comes back and nobody knows and he cuts them up and he throws them into the pot. And what he thinks they are is not what they actually are, because they're part of a very poisonous vine and they look very similar to something that is edible in that region. And so he throws the poison in the pot, and when they taste it, fortunately the hallmark of that is it's extremely bitter. And so when people taste it, they taste the bitterness and they say to Elisha, there's poison in the pot. We have to throw all of this out because some guy in his, you know, he was just trying to help, but he didn't help. And so Elisha says, give me some flour, throws it in the pot, and then he says, okay, it's okay to eat. And I think the guy with the most faith, you know, they go, hey, why don't you help yourself? No, you first. No, really. Promise. No, you. See, the simple truth is that you get to bring your strength and you add it to our communal pot. And whatever you put in the pot, we all get to taste and we all have to eat of. We need people to join the guest services team. I really do. I need people to greet people and guests when they come into the church. I want you, when you invite your neighbors or your friends, to know that when they come in here, they're going to be greeted with dignity and honor. They're going to be welcomed. There's going to be an usher that helps them. They're going to help somebody help them park. We're going to treat guests with extreme honor here because it's important. But I need people to sign up. I need you to help us. So if you're thinking about it, in January, we sign up again for Grace Team service. And I'm asking you, think about it. I need help. I need people on the worship team. I need people on the children's ministry team. I need people on youth team. If you think you might want to help with technical director, I need a technical director. We have some, but I need some more. I need people, and I need you. I need you to sign up. Bring your strength and add it to our communal pot. Come and be part of something that has been years in the making. And I think what you bring is going to make a difference to us, no doubt. Almost anything that you proactively decide to do will bless us. Indecision and inactivity does not bless us. It's a simple issue of some people pulling a cart and some people sitting on the cart. If 300 people are pulling and 300 people are sitting, we can go at a certain pace. But if one person decides to stop sitting and start pulling, that's a two-person swing. Because not only do we have one less person to pull, we've got one more person who's added to the pulling. One person who decides to be proactive makes a massive difference around here. We need your gifting added to our pot. Your time and your finances. By the way, if you want to add to the setting the pearl, If you go to the church giving on the website, you'll see one of the drop-down options is setting the pearl. We're going to spend some money around here. If you'd like to contribute to that, you'd like to add, please do so. I think there's about $90,000 worth of stuff going to happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks around here. If you can add to that, if that's your strength, you say, look, I don't have a lot of time, but I can give you some money. Add what you bring your strength to our pot. Because I promise you, we're all going to taste it. We're all going to celebrate it. So if you want to give, go to the website, Setting the Pearl, and we'll know what that means. Honestly, hopeful, excited, joyful people in service are worth their weight in gold. Literally worth your weight in gold. Now let me close with, you say, Greg, what can I do? I'm going to ask Michelle to come up here. I want to just say to you, I'm going to extend a hand to you. Michelle and I are extending a hand. Some 18 years ago, we put out our hand and took the Lord's hand and said, Lord, we want to do this with you. We'd like to open our hands to you today and say, we need your help. Take our hand. Let's do this together. Let's give your strength. Give your time. Give your finances. Bring your advice. Give us your heart. We'll walk into a new future together. Because I think the Lord wants to do something with this pearl. I think he wants to take it out. We've already got more offers to go around the world. We already have more churches than we know what to do. We have more people that are asking for our discipleship stuff. We have more churches asking for our discipleship stuff than we have members in our church. By a factor of 10. God's opening some doors for us around the world. God wants to take this pearl to our neighbors and the nations. We need your help. So we want to extend our hand and say, help us. The hand is a hand that I think the Lord is also offering. We're going to change the pearl a little. Help us with that. And the pot, what you bring, what you add, makes a big difference to us. It's not insignificant. Your proactivity is going to make a massive difference. So take the hand, celebrate the pearl, add to the pot. Would you join us in prayer? Father, we give you honor. You've brought us to this place. And Lord, what a pearl this is. Beautiful people, a rich clarity, a presiding sense of your hand. Lord, I know many people sitting in front of me have made significant sacrifices for us to be here. For each one, I give you honor and praise. We don't forget where you've brought us from, Lord. But there is an excitement in our hearts about where you're going to take us. So, Lord, we dare to reach out and take your hand today. We're going to reset this pearl, Father. Help us. We're going to add our strength to the pot. Now, Lord, do more than we've asked or imagined. Expand and explode this church into the new year. Help us to minister to our neighbors. Bless this community and change this world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.